talk a little bit about what's the reality when it comes to investing in real estate. Chris Volk is with us. He's Chief Executive Officer at Store Capital, ticker on the New York Stock Exchange, STOR. He's based in Scottsdale, Arizona, but we find him in our Bloomberg 1130 studio here in New York. First time on Bloomberg Radio.
First time.
Thanks, nice to have you here.
It's great to be here.
I have to tell you, I did look at your performance. Your REIT gained 7% last year. I think it's up about another 7% this year. You easily outpaced the REIT index in both time frames. How'd you do it in such a tough environment? Or is it not tough from your vantage point?
Well, I mean, we have a huge opportunity in front of us. So we address 70,000 middle market and larger customers. We're in the sale leaseback business, so they all have a choice whether they want to rent or own their real estate. And we have found that, especially in recent years, renting is such a great option for people. It allows them to increase their returns on equity and lower their cost of capital. But on top of that, it gives them more balance sheet flexibility, which is a little bit counterintuitive that somebody owns your real estate and you're more flexible. But in today's market, in fact, that's where we are. And so we've been in this business now for 30 years, three public companies. So this is our third. And we've never been more excited to be here.
How big are your biggest customers in terms of sort of deciding, you know, a business says, I want to take all of our real estate sale lease back. You guys do it for us.
Well, most of the business we do happens one at a time. So it's not a large portfolio transaction where somebody comes and says, I have this big whale of a transaction I'd like to do. Last year, we did transactions that were averaging $8 million a piece, and we did a big N2 worth of business off of that. The largest transaction we did all year was about $50 million. But that being said, many customers are of the view that owning real estate is not something that's best for them. And in fact, they can lower their cost of capital, enhance flexibility by doing it. But we have six salespeople that go around the country and talk to, or their finance directors, we call them, relationship managers. And they call on customers one at a time and articulate for them why it's so beneficial for them to have us as their landlord and for them not to own their real estate. And we focus on profit centers. We're the only REIT in the market that actually focuses on just profit centers. So we don't do distribution centers. We don't do office buildings. We just focus on things that make money for people. And the opportunity for us is enormous. So it's one at a time, talking to customers, getting business in the door, and getting nice real estate that makes money for people.
So I know Dave Wilson, our Bloomberg Stocks columnist, gave me a heads up that he's going to talk about healthcare REITs. He's coming up in the next hour because one of them took a beating, and so I think it's dragging down the overall market. Healthcare space, is it anything that you look at or no?
We've done some urgent care clinics. We have some oncology clinics that we've done for people, but they're smaller boxes. We don't do any large hospitals.
Very
we don't
specific,
do any physician.
Too, it sounds
yes,
like.
Very specific.
What's your exposure to the for-profit colleges and that have seen a really big pullback in their businesses really across all of them?
At this point, our exposure to for-profit colleges is down to three assets, maybe four assets out of 1,300. So it's very small. Last year, we actually had a vacancy that occurred with five for-profit colleges that were in California, and we've found new tenants for all those colleges, and we've or sold them. So today it's down to four assets.
What, you know, this environment, is it presenting more opportunities for you? It's kind of a crazy environment, it feels like. There's a fair amount of uncertainty on some big macro stories, but how does it, because you're dealing with everybody here in the U.S. for the most part,
correct.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I think first you start off with the notion of the landscape that was set for us when we started this company. So we opened our doors in this company in 2011, and we were opening it in the wake of Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank made it much more difficult for banks to lend money against real estate. That made it, in turn, a better opportunity for us to offer lease transactions for people. At the same time, you had Basel III, which also made doing middle market financing more difficult. And middle market financing is really where it's at, because if you think about large companies, roughly 83 to 85% of them don't even have a credit rating. So, I mean, this is where we go. We go after bank-dependent companies, and we fill a need for these guys, and we're there to make their businesses better off.
We've seen some shaky economic numbers out of the U.S. and slowing growth and you know, hanging on for the next data points. What are you seeing in terms of default rates for your customers, and how has that changed from where it was last quarter, maybe a year ago?
Well, Corey, we in terms of portfolio occupancy, it's higher today than it was because we had five empty for-profit colleges.
Mm. Right.
You know, vacancies are part of our business, so I don't want to say to people that we'll never have a vacancy. I mean, we should have a vacancy at certain points in time. And, you know, I've been talking to people and getting questions like, well, if the economy is worse off, are you underwriting differently? And the answer is no. I mean, we've always underwritten. If you're doing a 15 to 20 year lease, you better assume there's a recession during those 15 to 20 years, and you're building in a lot of margin for error to be able to absorb that, which is what we've been doing over the last 30 years.
So, you factor in a recession, right? Everything's cyclical, and you've got to expect the ups and downs. But do you factor in another one of those, you know, black swan moments?
We've lived through black swan moments, and our portfolios have prospered during black swan moments. So,
How do you do that?
I don't want to go through it again, by the way.
Yeah.
What you do is in our company today, we have a dividend that's the best protected dividend of any of the three public companies we've ever run. So we have a lot of room there. We do it because we have 96% of our properties. We actually get unit level profit and loss statements on. So we know not just how our tenants are doing, but how all the stores are doing themselves. And we can follow this. So that from a coverage.
That's interesting. Is that common?
No, it's very unusual. So for us, having that level of information gives us comfort in terms of what our clients can suffer, you know, what kind of sales can drop off, and them still being able to pay the rent. And today I would say that the ability of our tenants to cover our rent is as high as it's ever been. And then on top of that, the biggest tenant we have is still less than 3% of our revenue. So we've got a very, very diversified portfolio.
So what you see tells you about, you know, your tenant's ability to cover their rent.
Exactly.
Tells you what about the economy?
Well, our view on the economy has been since we started this company that it's fragile.
And with their ability, that's interesting.
We've been assuming, for example, there's no wind at anybody's back, that basically flat is the new up.
Yeah.
So if our clients can be flat, that's terrific, and that's what we've seen our clients do over time. So we've got just as many clients that are doing better at their units as doing worse. But overall, they're doing fine.
Interesting. Nice to have you here.
Well,
come back.
It's good to be here. So thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Chris Falk, he's Chief Executive Officer at Stor Capital. Ticker is STOR, based in Scottsdale, Arizona, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio on this Tuesday. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.